Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, cause now I'm getting hot enough to f*** with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
Rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. We did it, baby. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday. It's a beautiful Friday. Oh, and it's a beautiful Friday for me because last night, John Martin and I watched the draft. I watched the first round of a draft that the Chicago Bears did not have a first-round pick in. So you might wonder, why was Jason Smith, a Chicago Bears fan, watching? He was watching because he was hating. And I'm going to claim it. He was hating on the Raiders, John Martin's team. The team that had three picks. Jason Smith's only reason, real reason, for watching the first round of the NFL draft, which looked fantastic, by the way, in Nashville, that must be said. You know, it rained. That was kind of cool that it rained on Nashville, folks. John. Boy, did y'all screw that thing up, and that's what I was watching for, brother. Woo!
First of all, calm down over there.
It felt like we had a good pick.
Calm down.
Felt like the Bears had a good pick watching you bungle that thing.
Calm down over there, Ric Flair. First of all, that's very ungodly of you to the NFL draft.
I know,
and you,
it is.
And you need to work on that.
I'm going to claim it. I did, and I'm going to apologize to the Lord for it later.
That is not something that, as a deacon, you should do.
Nope.
You should want your partner to have great success, mm-hmm. and you should want his team to prosper,
mm-hmm.
even if that means it comes with your pick. You know, you got, you know, there was compensation for that pick that you received, a future Hall of Famer in Khalil Mack, and you should root for us because I'm your partner. Now, you didn't do that, not at all, and you admitted that to me in text messages last night, because I texted you and I said it was big of you to watch the draft despite having no vested interest, and your response to me was want to see y'all screw up.
Yep.
And
I kept it real with you. Don't you appreciate that?
And I don't.
Instead of trying to hide it.
I don't think we screwed up with your pick. I think we screwed up with our first one.
Oh, everybody knows that.
The one we earned.
Yeah, there ain't no question.
And we'll get into that in just a moment.
You still got your hat on, though. That's a good sign for the Raiders.
Well, I told you, as long as we didn't draft a quarterback.
You did say that.
I was going to come in here with my hat on.
It's going to be hard to defend, but you are still with it.
And I'm still on board with the Mayock Gruden regime. Lots to get to on the show today. Here's what we have going on. At 11:25, Sean Salisbury is going to join us. He, of course, is our NFL insider, our NFL expert. He does radio in Houston, former NFL quarterback. He honestly seems to be the only person with any kind of credibility that I can find that likes the Daniel Jones pick for the Giants.
Really? I did not expect that.
He likes it, best I can tell.
Yeah, I didn't expect anyone to.
He predicted it on his show. He predicted on his show that that the Giants would take Daniel Jones.
Well, he's looking real smart then.
The Giants going back to the old David Cutcliffe well.
He predicted they were going to take him at 6?
Yeah.
That's impressive. And not trade back and still get
yeah.
it. Yeah. Wow.
So we will talk to Sean about that. We'll get his thoughts on what the Raiders did. Lots to get to with Sean Salisbury. So he will join us at 11:25. At 12:25, Gary Parrish is going to join us. We will talk to him about all of that and more at 12:25. And then at 1:25, we're going to be joined by John Clayton. John Clayton, of course, is an NFL expert, contributing sports columnist over at the Washington Post. He's got winners. He's got losers. He's got the best available players heading into day two.
I can ask him what y'all, how, what if you were losers or winners.
Well, I mean, you know we're losers.
Good. I want everybody to say it.
I mean, it was just because, you know.
The only reason I'm doing this, John, is because you try to already say y'all won the trade. Otherwise, I wouldn't be giving you this silly hateration.
Because you try to say
you already won the trade. That's the only reason I'm giving you grief on this.
Okay.
I'd be taking, Mr. You know, I'd be nice to you today.
We won the MIT Sloan Award for the best transaction, Jason. I mean, we got that award. You didn't.
That's why this is happening to you. I just wanted you to know why.
I mean, do you think they just hand
just
that
throw
award
hate around.
To,
I don't do that.
Do you think they just hand that award out to anybody? Gruden and Gruden earned that. It was Gruden. It wasn't even Mayock.
I think the MIT folks need to stick to the MIT stuff and their business.
Well, they ran the numbers.
The numbers.
They ran
not
the numbers.
Not Raider numbers.
And they said the numbers that you gave Khalil Mack, whew, too high. Way too high.
Okay.
That's what we have. That's what we have going on the show.
You're gonna have a hard time today.
The good news is no.
Yes, you are. It's gonna be a long 3 hours for you, brother.
The Raiders weren't even they actually weren't the laughing stock of the draft. That's the good thing. Is it because I thought they would be? I really did. Because when they drafted Cleveland Farrell at number four,
Cleveland.
Who is this guy? It's so crazy.
I'm gonna be honest. That was my reaction. That was my reaction.
Even Mills knows.
When they drafted,
that was awesome.
When they drafted Cleveland Farrell, I looked at my wife, and this is what I said:
"Who is this guy? It's so crazy."
And
you and Gruden are one.
And it gave me PTSD. Like I had flashbacks and like night terrors to 2009. If you'll go back, the Oakland Raiders, I believe, had the number 7 overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed a receiver desperately. It was a very important need for us.
Is this DHB draft?
This is the DHB draft. We drafted Darius Heyward-Bey with Michael Crabtree still on the board.
Track star with no hands.
Michael Crabtree goes a few picks later to the San Francisco 49ers, goes on to have a pretty good career.
Oh, he's had a great career.
And he ended up coming to Oakland. We ended up getting him, and he had some great
being
years
solid
with us.
For you.
Yeah, he had some great years. But we should have had him all along.
Mm.
Darius Heyward-Bey ended up never becoming anything.
He was a journeyman. Surprised he stayed in the league as long as he did, quite
I
frankly.
I actually think he might still be with the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. He actually has found a home, or he did find a home with the Steelers at the end of his career.
Still sorry.
But he's still sorry. And that's how I feel. Like, Cleveland Farrell might turn out to be a good player. I certainly hope he turns out to be a good player, man. But with Josh Allen, the edge rusher there from Kentucky, you know, what I worry about, and people are tweeting me, and they were tweeting me all night last night, they're like, man, I know that it feels like a reach, and I know they're like trying to talk me off the ledge. Like,
really? Well, that's nice of the folks.
They're like, I know it feels like a reach, but trust me, you're going to love him. That's what people were saying, and I assume these are people who watch a lot of Clemson football. And
yeah,
like
good
Clemson.
Football player you could have gotten if trading back and still gotten the same guy. That's
well,
the
see,
difference.
that is exactly right. You could have – now, that requires finding a trade partner, and maybe they couldn't. Maybe maybe there was no deal to be had. I don't know. But it feels like he could have potentially maybe been there at 24. And
bro.
even if he wasn't there at 24, you know, maybe you can put a package together. I don't know. Listen, he's an accomplished football player. There's no doubt about that.
Man, Cleveland Farrell didn't believe y'all took Cleveland Farrell at number 4.
Do we have the –
that man said it surprised me.
Do we have the in real time? Because he was, you know, he's the number 4 overall pick. And it was like – it felt – like Al Davis again. It really did. It felt like Al Davis was over. Do we have the...
With the 4th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Cleveland Farrell, defensive end, Clemson.
Okay. This is interesting on a couple of levels. By the way, Cleveland Farrell is a very good player.
Yes.
He's one of 5 Clemson defensive linemen that are going to be drafted. 3 of them, in all likelihood, are going into the first round.
Yeah, so and also there was an iconic shot.
You will never ever live this one down. This shot, you'll remember it forever.
It's his brother who was just disgusted. He was disgusted by the pick. He did not know who it was. He had no idea. And he put his hood. He turned around. He put his hood up over his hat and continued to let the rain pour down.
The player may be just fine and probably going to be a good one for you, but you could have gotten him later on, and that was the it was a reach.
Yes,
you could have gotten him much later.
There are other picks you've got to get to.
That said, you said that you set this all up with, and I can tell you don't even believe it yourself. With something else made you be able to sort of. At least not put all of your – someone else bungled it more is where you were trying to go. And I know you're trying to get to Jones. You
yes.
are.
Oh,
but
yes.
But the fact that you just got hung up in it tells me you don't really believe it.
No, we needed help. We needed a shield. We needed a hero.
You don't really believe it.
And
– because you're caught up in it.
And we got one. And we got one, thank God. Dave Gettleman with the Giants, two picks later, drafts Daniel Jones. I mean, the fact that Daniel Jones was the first – you know, the second quarterback off the board, that threw up everybody – for a loop. And it stopped being about the Raiders reaching for Farrell, and it became more about Daniel Jones.
It did. I mean, it took some of the some of that heat off y'all.
I think Josh Jacobs
very quickly.
Josh Jacobs clearly, you know, is the consensus is that he's the best running back in the draft, pass catcher, modern era, and you know, NFL running back. You know, was it a little too high?
Could have got him in the second.
You know, maybe, who knows? And then Jonathan Abram, Mississippi State fans tell me that he's a beast. So you know, I think
Mississippi State a good day.
Listen, to sort of bottom line the Raiders portion of this. They had three first-round picks. I don't feel like they maximized that haul. That's
exactly
how I feel. I feel like they did decently with the latter two picks. Feels like they reached with Farrell. Maybe in 4 years I'll be proven wrong. But as of today, I'm still wearing my hat, as you know.
Mm-hmm. You are.
I'm wearing my hat.
Vouch for that.
But
I will say.
It didn't feel like they maximized it.
Well, it didn't. But I'm with you. It didn't sound like you believe it, but I'm with you that Jones became the bigger reach. Here's my problem with the Jones pick, and I'm talking about, you know, a guy who, other than Sean Salisbury, and I can't believe no one had going that high, because here's the deal. You could have gotten him later.
Yep.
Right? The Giants need a little bit of everything. We know they need a quarterback. And look, here's the deal. If Gettleman believes he is and we can roll with it, that's your guy. But you could have traded back. Here's the key. The point I was making to you guys off air. You got to know the board. And we can say, and I heard Jeff say it, and he said it for Trubisky, if you know your guy, that's your guy, go up and get him. I get that. Philosophically, I agree. If there wasn't the example right there in this draft of the Washington Redskins waiting and knowing the board and waiting on their guy Haskins to come down, it allows them, John, later on to go get Sweat. Again, the Giants had a chance to really have a good draft, I think.
Right.
But because you go so high there, you limit yourself. They could have gotten Daniel Jones trading back. They still could have got their man. I'm not telling you. I hear some today saying Daniel Jones ain't never going to work out for him. I'm not a football evaluator talented enough to tell you whether a guy for sure is going to be good or not in the NFL. I leave that to those guys. But what I can tell you, if that was your guy, you could have got him later on. You got to be able to play the game.
They could have
gotten
Daniel Jones at 17.
Exactly. They did not play the game well, John.
Yeah.
Washington played the game well.
I thought they did.
I mean, and again, it's the same thing. Washington's got the same folks in front of them that could be looking at quarterbacks like Miami, right? The Giants said they were scared to wait until 17 to grab him.
Right.
Well, the Redskins literally did it.
Yeah.
And it's the same teams in front of them that they wait on. It's a prime example of knowing the board and what the guys in front of you are going to take.
Right.
You could have done a better job of owning that first round, much like your Raiders, if you know, use those three picks. Anyway, I thought it could have been a better deal. You could have gotten the kid, even if you love him, get him a little bit later.
At least with the Raiders, right?
Redskins did great.
All three of the picks are going to play tomorrow. Like, they're going to play next year. The Giants look stupid.
They look dumb in the press conference afterwards, where the coach says it's Eli's job to keep this guy off the field,
yes.
And he's got body language I don't even agree with this pick.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at least with the Raiders, yes, they might have reached one or two guys. Josh Jacobs is going to be the starter for them next year.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland Farrell is going to
start. No, you're right about that.
Start.
They're going to come in and plug and play.
Well. Yeah. Those guys are going to get opportunities early and often, so at least it makes sense that you drafted him as high as you did. Daniel Jones, they're saying this dude might sit for 3 years. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got drafted at the end of the first round. People forget that. Yeah, he got drafted at the end of the first round, you know, and they could afford to wait. They had Brett Favre. They had a good team.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are not in that predicament. They are not in that situation. They spent a premium pick on a quarterback who, you know, may or may not play in 3 years. That seems ridiculous. Yeah. I don't understand that whatsoever. And then
I don't know if you're a Giants fan how you're buying anything out of Gettleman's mouth right now.
Dude, he literally said, I don't know. I might walk out of here and get hit by a car. Who knows what can happen? That's not how you should be, you know, defining and explaining a pick.
You should be dealing in high percentages.
Yes.
And tell us why he's your guy over everyone else. And again, that explanation wasn't good. Gettleman went and watched him at the Senior Bowl, saw him in three series. He got the MVP. The rest of the tape, the rest of the career, he looks like a backup, tops.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so we're going off just Gettleman watching this guy, three series, Senior Bowl, MVP, whatever. And you're in love and you're supposed to believe. Again, this is the same guy who just signed Odell Beckham Jr., then traded him. I don't know how they can say we've got a vision, a plan that fans are buying right now. It just seems ridiculous.
Exactly. Okay, so the Tennessee Titans also did some things
as well.
Yeah,
got to talk about them.
And this is where it got interesting. They drafted Jeffrey Simmons, the very talented but embattled and hurt defensive tackle from Mississippi State. I think the consensus on him is that, you know, everything else to the side could be one of the, you know, top five most talented players in the draft, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those cases. It's super talented, but maybe you know, maybe he never gets it together from a character standpoint, or you know, because when he was drafted, it was almost a totally different. Everything changed.
But
the tone completely changed.
I don't think he dropped though, John, because of the character question.
Right. It was the injury.
You have to at least bring the ACL injury into it. The fact that he's going to start the season on a PUP list and may not play until next season, until what, 2020? There's a possibility of that. So I think that said, to get into this. Because that video, him beating up a woman that was beating up his sister or in a fight with his sister, was old.
Yep.
Was years old. And so to that point, that had been out. And he answered these questions and been through it. And it was despicable. There's no question about it. When you see it on the video, it's much like the Ray Rice video. A different feeling comes of you. You can read these words, right? But when you see the assault, it puts a certain feeling in us as humans that is disgusting. It's despicable.
Yep.
And what do? You the law deals with it. And this is something, again, to go back to the point that happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Teams knew about this, is my point. It was this ACL that appears is what dropped him.
Now, maybe I'm wrong on this, but didn't, because ESPN, it was the first thing they did after the Titans picked Jeffrey Simmons. They didn't show his tape. Obviously, there wasn't any. But
it was very uncomfortable.
They went to the video.
And because that's why I remember. Yeah. They didn't go to, like,
but
highlight
didn't they
tape.
Do that with Baker as well? Maybe it wasn't the first thing they did, but I feel like when Baker Mayfield went first, they showed the video of him running from the cops. I feel like I want to say they did that last
year. Before they showed his highlights?
No, I think they showed his highlights
first. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember that after they won.
But they got to his, I think there's a journalistic conversation to be had about doing it at all, right? Like, what is the value in playing? Like, if it's not relevant to, you know, if it happens a year ago, 2 years ago, time has been served or punishment has been served. How relevant is
it? Like with the case with Tunstall. That's what I'm saying. It was happening
real time. Yeah, Laramie Tunstall. Exactly.
It was happening real time during the draft.
Bro,
it becomes news. The video jumps out
there. It was on
Twitter,
like, as he was getting drafted.
Correct.
He was smoking the, you know, yes.
Correct.
It feels like the NFL is trying to recapture that with all this stuff this year, too. I feel like they're trying to recapture that viralness that it took off crazy like that. They want to recapture that and be a big deal again, you know.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I felt uncomfortable with the way they did it because the video was so old. Look, I am in no way condoning what this kid did at all. You guys know that. You know what we think of what happened on that tape. It's despicable. And the law has dealt with him. Now, we can go back and forth on if it dealt with him fairly enough or whatever. It's our system. It's our law system. It dealt with him. Mississippi State then goes about the decision. And at the time, it was a controversial one, whether or not to accept him to enroll. The AD down there, Strickland, who's now at Florida, goes to Macon, Mississippi, or where I think it was the small town of Macon, Mississippi, a couple thousand people, interviews a bunch of people about this kid. And again, we can go back on, well, does talent weigh out there, or do your true feelings and what those folks are telling you? He felt good enough they're going to enroll the kid. Here's the key. Nothing has happened since. I know when you see it, you want to say this guy is a piece of trash, and the action is trash. But y'all know where I come from, and again, we've been through this before in other topics, where you have to be given an opportunity to redeem, to rehabilitate if you have a real problem, right? And so if you see afterwards, right, been dealt with by our law system, Mississippi State's made the controversial decision to bring him in. Well, you know what comes with that? If this guy screws up again, that is on y'all. Well, here's the deal. The guy's not screwed up again, and he's owned up to it every step of the way. It is bad. It's awful. it was years ago. He's answered up to it. He's paid. I'm not going to even say the price because, again, to some of us, the price may have needed to be a little bit steeper. We're not going there. He's been, from what it looks like, and again, I don't know this man, he looks, I know he's remorseful.
Yeah.
Because he's answered up to it and said, I'm sorry, a million times, and everybody that asked, he does it, he's straight up about it. But not just remorseful, it appears a good person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, John, you can be a good person and make awful, disgusting, horrible mistakes, right? Or you can be a bad person and get rehabilitated. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, again, you know, we can all judge, and that's part of our jobs here. It's part of what we do in sports rock radio and all this stuff now. Part of it is judging because it's opinion.
It's a pretty bad video.
He got – oh, it yeah, it's bad. It's awful.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
It's despicable, and I would have some question. I don't know if I would have been able to admit him, John,
right,
if I'm the first at Mississippi State.
Right.
Because I'm not sure I want to put my reputation on the line for this kid.
Right.
Especially
right.
after watching that video.
Yep.
Strickland did. Why? You could argue, well, the kid's so talented, or you could argue this guy was willing to put his rep on the line because, again, a lot of folks were on this. When they let him in, a lot of people were like, no. He put his own rep on the line because he talked to people. Turns out so far he's looked right. Again,
yeah.
This has not happened. Happens again, guy's off. But again, you know, I'm sure you're taking away opportunities from him.
Right.
But again, going back to the decision to air the video, Trey Wingo goes right into an explanation. They're like, hold on, folks. Okay, it's about to get serious. I mean, that's basically what he said. And to your point, you don't go to highlight tape. You go to, we're about to show you a video. What I don't remember them telling us right off top is how old it was.
Yeah.
Because it felt like, John, they were showing us something new.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It felt like the Tunstall thing, quite frankly. Like, we were about to see new information.
Right.
He relays what happened, basically. All right, here's a fight, and it involves women. And in this case, he was at first breaking it up, but then they show us the video.
And then it escalated, and yeah.
And Trey constantly goes into don't want to do this guy's sort of defense, but have to give you the info. Well, you've given it to us already in the rundown of it, and what you haven't really let us know is that in good enough fashion, maybe even said, is that this is an old story.
Yeah, I think that's a part of the story.
It's part of the information.
It's part of the conversation, but I don't think it necessarily should be the first thing. You know what I mean? It's hey, here's Jeffrey Simmons. He did this in Mississippi State, coming off an ACL injury. And, of course, there are questions about him. There's an incident in 2016 or 15 or whatever it was. He put his hands on a woman. Here's video. If you feel compelled to show the video, I can go either way on that. I don't really know how much value there is in playing the video.
Making it, what we can agree on is making it the first thing made it feel like it was recent and timely and right now.
Agreed. And yeah, so it was certainly a very interesting night. And if for the Titans, listen, he may not play next season at all, but, you know, when he's healthy, you we've talked about this a little bit, you know, before.
Put him next to Jarrell Casey.
Yeah.
That whole side is deadly.
No question about it. When we come back, we'll talk to Sean Salisbury about all of this. He did believe and predict on his show that Daniel Jones was going six to the New York Giants.
I wish I'd known that beforehand.
So we will talk to Sean Salisbury about that. We'll get his thoughts on what the Raiders did. The Redskins certainly seem to have had a nice night. They got their quarterback and he fell right into their laps. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Getting close to lunchtime, why don't you head over to the Wing Guru, 5699 Mount Moriah or 7199 Stage Road. Both of those locations going to give you the same great wings. Party hole, boneless, however you like them, from Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball player turned booming entrepreneur. He's into the chicken wings. He's got the best premium flavors. That's why he's the best, isn't it, John?
Yep. Those premium flavors, spiced taco, garlic, sriracha. Honey Suicide, whatever it is you need. Great time. It's the weekend. Great time to get on over to the Wing Guru. What are you waiting for?
Always a great time. You can get the gourmet burger as well. It's good. Everything's good at the Wing Guru. When you see Billy Richmond, our guy, tell him that Jason and John sent you, please.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And as promised, his name is Sean Salisbury. He is our favorite when it comes to anything and all things NFL. He's the host of the Sean Salisbury Show in Houston. He joins us now. Sean, what's up, man?
How you guys doing, man? Good to talk to you.
Always.
Appreciate you.
So you had Daniel Jones going sixth, huh?
Yep, for about 2 weeks ago. We went through our mock draft, and I said I believe he's going to go with the – he'll be the second quarterback taken. And lo and behold, with much to other people's dislike, he was by Dave Gettleman. So, yeah, it didn't shock me, that's for sure.
When you watch tape of Daniel Jones, what do you see?
Big kid, more accurate than the statistics would tell you. And I think Josh Allen's trying to prove that you don't have to be a 60% guy or 65% guy in college, although I'm big on accuracy. He moves. The number one thing I love the most about him is I know he's going to be well coached. And people are going to say, well, I didn't see many of his games. I mean, people didn't see many of his games, or he played at Duke and he didn't play in a, you know, tough enough competition, although the ACC is pretty damn good. You know, some of the ask Clemson how good it is, and we know that Florida State and Georgia Tech has game at times, and you know it's better than people give him credit for. He's not a big name. He didn't come with a lot of fanfare, a lot of hype. Matter of fact, going into last year, I'll bet you 85% of the football world had no idea who he was. But I'm a huge Dave Cutcliffe believer, and I like guys whose mechanics don't break down under pressure. Is it a reach at six instead of 17? Probably, mm-hmm. A little bit. We overuse that term. But the Raiders, Cleveland Farrell's a reach at four instead of 17 or 21. I had him going in the 20s or the late teens. I think it was the late teens to Baltimore. So, you know, here's why I always live by, guys. First of all, the people that are criticizing, I'm talking about most of them, not the people who study it and do it, but fans that don't like it in New York, simply say, well, Dwayne Haskins is a bigger name. I'm not saying Haskins is not a better player. But that's what they're going by. They know Haskins more. They know Kyler Murray more. Hell, they know Drew Locke even more. Why this guy? We like names. The same thing's going on here in Houston with Titus Howard. People are like, well, I don't know. They drafted a tackle out of need, but they want a bigger name, yet they don't have any idea if the guy's good or not because they haven't watched an ounce of what he does on the field. So Daniel Jones is a good football player. Now, he could be a guy that in 3 years you want to replace. And he could be a star, but I can say that about any quarterback in any class every single year. We don't have guarantees. Hard position to judge, hard position to pick. I'm not overly concerned about the fact they took him because I live by one rule. If you love him, draft him. Mm-hmm. Don't take the risk. Somebody at 12 sneaks in. What if they'd have said, we'll wait till 17? And let's just say the Redskins liked him more at 15 and that the Giants didn't like Haskins. So they said, somebody else jumped in. Let's say John Elway drafted Jones at 10, and the Redskins took Haskins at 15, and then all of a sudden the Giants at 17, well, we didn't have Drew Locke on our first round, as apparently a bunch of teams didn't, and, well, we'll have to work on the second round. So, and then the criticism, why didn't you draft a quarterback? So I always say this, let's just see. Let it play out. Okay, if it doesn't work, then guess what your ass is going to do? 3 years later, you're going to go out, do it again just like you would at corner, defensive tackle. Now, quarterback changes franchise or kills franchises quicker. But I have a hunch. One thing I know about him, he's smart and he's well coached. And aside from the stuff that I've seen him on film do, NFL's different. We all know that. But I've seen guys that are great college tape that go to the NFL, can't play a lick. And I've seen guys you say, man, I don't know. He looks like a pretty good player, but I don't think he's going to translate much to the NFL. And the next thing you know, he's played in the league 10 years. So let's let it happen before we bury Dave Gettleman on when he chose him. If you love him at any position, you draft him regardless of where everybody else plays that he's at value at 17. You know, we're all guessing anyway when it comes to the draft.
I'm with you on the guessing. I'm curious why you have him over Dwayne Haskins. Why you? What's the difference?
No, see, here's the difference. I said that they draft him six. I didn't say he was a better player.
Gotcha.
I said that I believe they're going to take him sixth and with this sixth pick, and I get why they would. Eli Manning connection.
Right.
Comes highly regarded.
Yep.
David Gettleman obviously trusts Dave Cutcliffe. Hey, and you guys know this is about relationships, man. You can go to 50 guys and go to one, and then if Cutcliffe can sell him, just like, hey, any selling point, what do we do when we're trying to get a guy in the Hall of Fame? He has a guy represents him and goes sells him to the other voters, mm-hmm. tells me why this guy should be in the Hall of Fame. It's no different than going to a coach or a teammate or Eli and saying, why Daniel Jones?
Yep.
Well, here's why. Bingo, bingo, bingo. So for me, now, when you watch the film of both of them,
yep.
the Haskins jumps out far, far quicker, far more blatant than he does. But right. there's something about Jones that they liked, and I'm okay with it until, well, we're going to find out. Haskins will probably have a huge chip on his shoulder. You could tell he was disgruntled mm-hmm. and bothered. Good. Then use it to your advantage and go kick ass in the division. You get to play him twice, send a loud message. Daniel Jones probably was feeling really blessed that he was taking six, so we'll see if he can validate it too. I had Murray, Haskins, Jones, Locke,
got
with
you.
Locke being the purest thrower. And just and you guys know this, just because you have a guy going in the draft doesn't mean he's better than the guy you had behind him. Mm-hmm. So for me, I don't know why Haskins, why he was dropping anyway. He didn't do anything in the offseason for me to take away his 50 touchdowns and 4,900 total yards. But apparently 14 teams thought that, well, he's not for us, so they went another direction. I think the kid will be a good player. I think Daniel Jones, I don't think that this is a blatant bust. I think he has a chance to be a really good player from what I've seen. And knowing his intelligence and knowing who he's coached by, Kyler Murray, hell, you may get a steal now with Drew Locke in the second round or whenever they take him, because he really does throw the ball well, and he was on a Missouri team that didn't support him very well because he didn't have a lot of players. So I think most people would have taken Haskins second. But it only takes one. That's why I tell you, it only takes one to like you.
Yeah.
And apparently the Giants like him better than Dwayne Haskins or anybody else in this draft, for that matter.
Well, right. You like that fit, though, Haskins in Washington and the way they
love
played it and didn't go up and get him. You must love that fit then, if you like
absolutely.
That
kid. Absolutely. Yep. I thought, well, Daniel Snyder's taking over the draft. What in the hell is he going to do?
I know.
Please don't screw this up.
Usually
and
does.
Fortunately, Haskins landed in his lap.
Yep.
And I think it's his son or a family member, his daughter, son, somebody. Mm-hmm. Somebody goes to the same high school that Haskins went to, so there's a connection in New Jersey there, and connections and relationships, and it was a great opportunity. And you look at the Redskins getting Montez Sweat if his heart's healthy and
that's
everything's
what I'm
fine
talking about.
With
yep.
the pick. The Redskins really, for Daniel Snyder, who's the owner, they picked two good ones. They picked two ones at the end that both are going to have a chip. Montez Sweat, if everything was normal on him, or at least people thought he didn't have any issues,
mm-hmm.
he's like a top 10 talent.
No doubt.
And then you took at Haskins, and most people thought he'd go in the top 10. If you're the Redskins, you got to be saying, hell, I won, man. I won this day. Two really good players in the first round. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of Haskins. And like I said, you're not going to get a lot of movement out of him, but I like a guy who delivers the ball on time and can layer the ball with different throws and velocity. And just like a pitcher changing up speeds, even on his fastball, doesn't always have to be 98 miles an hour. It could be a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. So, I think Haskins is going to fit well, and I like players that go into a draft pissed. Everyone in the draft is, they're pissed coming out of it, and then they got something. They look to me like Josh Allen, getting drafted by Jacksonville with people passing on him. Looked like he was pissed too, and you better have a good supply of body bags because that's a full-grown man too. So I like guys that go into camp feeling like they have some message to send, as long as it doesn't get in the way of your preparation.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Clearly the Giants had Daniel Jones higher in terms of any other quarterback. They had him higher on their list. But let me ask you this, Sean. How much sense does it make to take him at six, which everybody agrees is a premium pick, only to later say he might sit for the next 3 years?
Yeah, they didn't help themselves there.
You know what that's called? That's called first of all, consider the source. They let Beckham go. I mean, Dave's had a rough offseason.
Man,
okay?
Yes.
He's had a rough go of it. Well, first and foremost, they screwed the pooch by not taking Sam Darnold last year, okay? You can say what you want. I know Saquon Barkley's good, but I will tell you this. At no time are you ever going to see – I can go 2-14 with a great running back. I can.
Yep.
You ain't going 2-14 with a great quarterback. I'm just telling you. You're
yep.
not. I can go 2-14 with a great pass rusher. You ain't going. The Texans have proven that with Watt early in a handful of years ago. You can lose 13 games with a great pass rusher. Great quarterbacks. I'm not talking about a rookie who's still learning. I'm talking about quarterbacks that are okay. The Browns aren't going to win two games with Baker Mayfield ever again as long as he's a quarterback. The Jets, who Darnold was a rookie, got better. They're not going to win two games this year. They're going to win far more than that. I'm just telling you. And that's why, as much as I love Saquon Barkley, I don't ever take a running back over a quarterback. I don't give a damn who it is if they're both franchise players. So they screwed up last year by not taking Darnold. The Jets won that. And so this year, the makeup call, they go out and get the quarterback. And, yeah, I think what it is, it's a CYA comment. Hey, he doesn't want you to think, well, if we don't play him the first year or year two, if Eli Foy in week four is 0-4 and we're struggling and everybody's calling for Daniel Jones, we may get him. But this is to get to take pressure off Daniel Jones to say, hey, listen, I get a three-year window here, dudes. I told you. You got 3 years if he doesn't play. It's the way he's sending it out there. And I got news for you. There's no damn way they're sitting there saying, we're going to wait 3 or 4 years to play the kid. This is a first-round pick. We don't do that with top 10 picks at quarterback. Eli's got 1 year to prove that he can still play. And if he's not proving it during the season, Daniel Jones will be your starter, period. So this is just a media move to release some of the pressure of why they took him there and that they're in no hurry to rush him. Unfortunately, in this league, the Giants aren't very good. And teams are in a hurry. They just have a veteran who they think can still play, and they've been telling us that all offseason. Hey, Eli's got 2 or 3 years left in his game. So it coincides with what Dave Gettleman's saying about Daniel Jones, that no rush to play him. And if they're lucky, Eli plays great, and you won't have to play Daniel Jones. Other than that, if Eli struggles, you throw his ass in there, and let's see what he's got.
Sean, what do you think? Should the Raiders take a quarterback this draft? Forget first round. That's done, and we all agree the first one was a reach. But should they go quarterback? My partner, who you know is a Raiders fan, John Martin, doesn't think so, thinks you should play the wait game and see. Do you think they should take one this year or wait?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say the Raiders have – let's say they fulfilled, you know, they first round pick. Let's say they got their running back.
Mm-hmm.
They get their safety. They get their pass rusher. Okay, so now that they've got those three that they think they've filled their need. Okay, let's say in the second round they go get a receiver or whatever. And then the third round rolls around. Let's say Will Greer's sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
That's what I'm thinking.
Why not?
Yeah.
Here's how I think. I would draft a quarterback every draft, every year. Look at the Patriots. At some point in this draft, you know they're going to get one of these dudes, Ryan Finley, somewhere, somehow. Mm-hmm. If they don't trade for Rosen, which maybe he's going to Miami. I'm not going to guarantee it, but there's a part of me that believes that they'll go get one. I would draft one every year, fifth round, sixth round, third round, second round. We do it with other positions. Why not the quarterback? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean Carr's job's threatened. Hey, look at the Giants. Didn't they take Davis Webb a couple years ago?
Yep.
And didn't they take the other kid from Richmond or somewhere? They took another quarterback last year, like in the third or fourth round.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
a whole bunch of them.
They another quarterback, one of those, a smaller school, but a good thrower. And then now they take this kid. So, why not? One is, if there's competition and one guy's really good, then I use him as an asset. Ryan Mallett, Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, if you're the Patriots. Why wouldn't I? So I probably wouldn't take one high in the second round because the Raiders have a lot of bodies they need.
Mm-hmm.
But, hell, if Will Greer's sitting there, you think Finley, a fourth-round pick, can end up being a player down the road?
Yep.
Well, you have an asset to either move or if Carr starts to falter. You can never have enough good ones like this. I don't subscribe to taking two in the same draft, but it worked out for Kirk Cousins in the end and not Robert Griffin. But, I would. I would take one if I was a Raiders, if there's a guy, not just as a throwaway pick, but, fourth round, third round, Will Greer sitting there, he's got guts.
Yep.
What if he turns into be a stud? Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I'd draft one. If I'm a GM, I'm drafting a quarterback every single year in some round.
You know, you mentioned it. Most people sort of are cautious and tend to try to avoid drafting a running back in the first round. The Raiders did. They did that. They drafted Josh Jacobs. But if he's going to be the guy that steps in, and it sounds like with Marshawn Lynch retiring, that's what's going to happen. I mean, can't you justify doing that?
Yes, especially later, and especially when it comes down to the fact that you are in desperate need, not just kind of need.
That's true.
You're in desperate need of that position. You get a guy who, hell, shared carries with about 18 other great backs at Alabama. I mean, it is like they all look like the same. I mean, with the way their running style, powerful, explosive, they'll block you. I mean, when you look at an Alabama running back, I can tell you one thing. I know he's going to hit the hole hard, and I know he's going to wear your butt out when you come up and greet him. And you watch some of that film on Jacobs, he also blocks. Mm-hmm. See, to me, a rookie back, the one thing that keeps him off the field is not the fact that he can't run. They're all good at running. It's, one, can you pass protect in third down so I don't make you a two-down back? Can I keep you in and you understand protections? And three, can you get out in the flat and get out in the open, run me some option routes where I can rely on you as a mismatch? Mm-hmm. Jacobs can do everything. Yes, I completely agree. I bet this was a blatant no-brainer for me when they drafted him. Maybe you could have got him with your third pick, But I would have taken him there too because he's going to start. There's no tread worn on the tire because Sharon with Harris and all those backs there in he wasn't even supposed to be their number one back coming into this year. Now he's a first-round pick. Yeah, this was a pick of the other of the three picks, to be honest with you. This might have been the best one of the three because I think you could have got Farrell later, and I think he'll be a good player. But Jacobs is right where you get him. If you're going to draft one in the first round, and if it's late, and knowing that it's not, to me, it's not a top-heavy deep class. There's some good guys in the middle. But this was the best one of the class, and he sits there for you, and you need him, go for it.
Sean, I love Kyler Murray, but I think he's going to take a beating. I mean, because it's they don't have enough around him. They're not even – how close? I mean, it's going to be years, right, before they've got enough around him just to even protect him.
You would think so. Yeah. You would think so. And one thing I know about spread offenses, their priority is not protecting the quarterback. They leave him.
Out.
They leave him unprotected
right.
a lot of times to see defenses and take a hit. The two things here are, one is, and in college in that system, they're not reading direct in protections. They just don't do it.
Right.
So he's going to have to his football IQ, which he obviously understands football, but to be able to come up to the line of scrimmage and call, you know, Mike Wright and. Where and point to who their hot reads are and understand how to direct protection and when we're doing slide protection, all those things that a quarterback needs to know. And he's going to need to know it fast because he ain't playing backup when they open the season in September. So he's going to have to know that one and have the judicious, you know, the judicious mentality to throw the ball away. And his biggest strength may end up being his biggest weakness. He's going to try to make every play. And in the NFL, you just got to know sometimes throwing it to your dad in the stands is a good play. He's going to get beat up, but here's the thing with me is you got to catch him before you can hit him.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
He threw a lot of balls from the pocket. He's not used to getting hit because Oklahoma, nobody touched him.
Right.
And he's going to get used to that. He's going to get hit in the division. I assure you, they're going to knock him around. But when people talk about durability, now I worry about Deshaun Watson. He took too many hits. Mm-hmm. We see that.
Mm-hmm.
The durability, what happens? You start to take hits, and what do? You start to bail earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting through your progression, first guy's not open. I kind of see the second guy, but I'm going to rely on what I do great. I'm going to buy me some time with my great speed and foot speed, and I'm going to get out on the edge and see things. And then you don't take as big a hits out on the edge because you can kind of see around you and get down. We're in the pocket. You're taking your biggest hits always. So, yeah, that's a problem, and it's going to be something on him to do the lonely work this offseason. He should be in Cliff Kingsbury's office a million days over the rest of the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
If they allowed it in the NFL. He needs to be in there understanding protections to guard against it because they're not very good up front. But the one thing I know, guys, he gets skinny, man. He doesn't take a lot of hits. He does, for saying he's hard to hit. He's hard to get a clean shot on. But this is the NFL, and as always, defensive coordinators will find a way to put him at a disadvantage. There'll be some growing pains, and he'll make the spectacular play that we like, oh, I see why.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also going to come up to the line of scrimmage, and they're going to start showing him blitz one way, coming with blitz the other way, doing all those things to disguise and zone blitzing him and hitting him in the mouth.
Yep.
And they're going to test his mettle and his toughness pretty soon and pretty early because you're going to test their protections because the number one priority in the spread offense usually isn't protect the quarterback. They usually leave it to the quarterback to get the ball out.
So true.
No doubt. And then last thing, Sean, the Tennessee Titans here in the state of Tennessee, they drafted Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State. Do you like that pick at all?
I know the issues. I'm not going to get into that. That's for them to decide if what he did in high school with his mother and hitting, if he's truly in the, and you hear all the talk at Mississippi State and everybody swears that he's a good human being and that was a one-time aberration, even though it still makes you cringe and sick to your stomach when you see it.
Yep.
As a football player, I'm strictly speaking of football, he's a top five player in the draft if he's healthy. The knee injury, if he can, and I don't even know how much he's going to play in 2019.
Right.
If he rehabs this and he's back to 100%, 5 years from now we're going to be looking back and saying, oh, man. What a great get. Think about the path. Think about the trouble that the AFC South quarterbacks are going to be in with Josh Allen at Jacksonville if this dude pans out and gets healthy. Because if he wouldn't have been hurt,
top five.
I mean, he would have been a top 10 pick for sure and probably a top five talent. I like the pick as long as the guy is straight on his off-the-field issues. I like the pick. As a football player, I think he's a hell of a talent.
Yep. Sean, man, you're the best.
Thank
Always
you so
appreciate
much for
the
this,
time
Sean.
And the breakdowns.
I appreciate you guys always. You know I'm here for you anytime. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Have a great weekend.
He is Sean Salisbury. Joins us throughout the NFL season and from time to time to help us break down and make sense of everything that's going on in the NFL. We'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Madden cover. We have our athlete, our Madden cover athlete. We'll get into that. Also, in addition to the game, in addition to the game that I think is going to make college football fans very excited, we'll get into that. I've got the latest for you on that. The Avengers had a great night last night, the movie.
Memphis got a visitor here too, right? Memphis, that we've talked about.
Memphis has a visitor. Lots more to come here on the show. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Gary Payer is going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk to him about the NFL
Sean
draft
Miller.
And Sean Miller.
Ooh,
and
ooh, you read any of that stuff coming out of there?
Yeah, lots to get to with Gary Parrish. We'll do that at 12:25. But before we do that, the University of Memphis has a visitor on campus. As we told you earlier this week, Rajon Tucker, the talented guard from Little Rock. UALR graduate transfer would be eligible immediately. He is on campus. He is still going to visit, I believe, Iowa State and Kansas. And he's also declared for the NBA draft. So he's kind of fitting all of this in between draft preparation. But he is definitely here. He posted a video on his Instagram. I'm assuming they put him up in the Peabody, Jason. I'm assuming they put that's where the official visitors go.
I don't think that's changed. They've gone to that, yes.
Yeah, and on his Instagram, like, he was really impressed by the room. Like, he was really, you know, he was really impressed. Like, he talked about it. Like, he turned a light on and he's like, man, this is crazy. Like,
well, you basically got two choices, I think. I think they messed around with the Westin for a minute, and I might be wrong on that, yeah. But I think they messed around with doing officials there.
Okay.
But the Peabody gives you that old classic.
Yeah, man.
Right?
And, no doubt.
You know, rich guy
historic.
Stuff, historic, yeah, all that too. But don't they come off as, again, I've never stayed there. But those
are
hoity-toity. Yeah,
like,
they're more hoity-toity, I guess.
Yeah, which is what you want your recruits to get the best and the biggest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've never had the staff explain that to me, the difference between the two. But, yeah, we've seemed to have preferred the Peabody for years.
Yeah, so that's where he was. That's where he was put up. And, you know, I don't know what the other lodging is like in other places, but I imagine Peabody's probably hard to compete with.
I wonder what size room they get them is what I wonder. I think we could probably find that out someday.
Well, probably not the Romeo and Juliet.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how up the scale is it? Is it like the basic, or is it the?
You ain't gonna put
it
the.
It ain't the presidential. It ain't the penthouse. So how far?
Well, it could be like.
Is it second priority? Is it third highest?
Like three fourths of the way.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to give them.
I bet it's nice.
You don't want to give them the basic.
I bet it's a nice one.
You know, you don't want to put them at a. You know.
We should be able to find
La Quinta Inn, dog.
No, but they don't have La Quinta Inn type rooms in the Peabody, John.
I know. I
even
still, like
the janitor's closet in like La Quinta.
Yeah, but like still, you know, you want to put them in something that you don't want to check in and be like, all right, Mr. Tucker, your basic room is ready. You know what I mean?
Deluxe room.
Deluxe.
That's what you're going to use.
Oh, that's the new word for basic.
No, deluxe will impress him.
Yes.
You don't say basic.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So anyway, and it'll be interesting. I know you talked about this. We've talked about it before too. Just sort of the way you navigate, right? The way you navigate the situation here if you're Memphis.
Yeah, what if he wants to commit? You got to take him.
I think you just have to take him. I don't know how
you
feel
out. You figure out R.J. Hampton later?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the, yeah.
Because I think we both feel like that staff feels it. It wouldn't have Rajon Tucker here if not so. That staff feels like it could use some experience in the backcourt, John, an experienced scorer. So, I mean, if they feel that need is great, if that kid's ready to commit – on this visit,
yeah.
You're going to take that, aren't
yeah.
you?
I think you figure out
RJ later.
I think, you know, now when do scholarships, like, when are they set in stone? Would it not be like in July?
But before you enroll.
June, right?
Yeah.
I mean.
But you can hold, you know what I'm saying? You can hold one for the fall form, and they can get enrolled as long as they're in by whatever it is, August or whatever
it is. But if Rajon, Precious, and Lester, that's three. That's all they got.
No, I'm saying you would have to loose figure something out.
Somebody would have to leave.
Yes, because you obviously would still want RJ.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get, yeah, something would happen. I see what you're saying. You'd have to make sure you didn't lock somebody into a scholarship in June when you enrolled summer school, whatever you're going to do. Yes, and I'm imagining you would, John. You would leave some options open.
Yeah, by the way, it seems like Antoine Jones could be headed to Creighton, yeah.
He's on a visit there.
It sounds like he's having a really good time. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you.
Be a good landing spot for him.
It's a weird, weird spot for him, though. Like, Antoine Jones at Creighton? Like, it just doesn't.
Well, in terms of, you know, type of player, yeah. I guess they usually get if you're trying to say, you know,
like he's a Florida kid, like he's, you know, that's like kind of the middle of nowhere. You know, I would have thought it would have been somewhere closer to home. You know,
they're a great program.
Oh, no doubt.
And you talked about if he could go somewhere where he could get 25 to 30 minutes a game with more specifically somebody that's going to let him play through mistakes and is willing to go through the ups and downs of coach. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And look, if McDermott's ready to do that over there, and he gets those minutes, you could see him shine over there.
Yeah, and I think Creighton recruited him out of high school as well, so there's probably already a familiarity with him there. But anyway, that's the latest. Rajon Tucker's on campus at the University of Memphis. It'll be interesting to see what happens afterwards. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. There's a new cover athlete for Madden last year. Of course, do you know who the cover athlete was for Madden last year? Do you have any idea?
I've just been waiting for you to ask me who it would be this year.
Antonio Brown was the cover athlete last year as a Steeler. Have the Raiders had a cover athlete?
Did you see him shooting at Ryan Clark the other day?
I did.
Like, he needs to stop, bro.
I'm not a fan of
your
that.
Your boy needs to stop. Like, just mind, you know, just be you. There's no reason for you to be having these folks stealing your joy. You're Antonio Brown. You got all the money in the world. Now you're a Raider.
Yes.
Should be happy. Don't be shooting. You know, there's no reason to do it. You look defensive when you do this.
I agree. I wish he'd get off. I wish he'd get off Twitter. I really do. Like, it's not productive for him.
It's
doing
nothing for him.
But yes, there is a new cover athlete. We'll get into that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.